Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Rude Rooster Teeth, very, very rude. Hey there, Nomad of Nowhere fans. Welcome back to the Nomad of Nowhere After Show here on Rooster Teeth Reviews on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we're going to be breaking down episode 9 from season 1, Compass. We're going to be talking about magical items, how public perception of the Nomad might be changing, and the death of our favorite critter, R.I.P. Rope Friend. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Specifically, Red Manuel. Red Manuel was to blame. I feel like that was a pretty obvious choice for the music tonight, right? That's appropriate. I'm very upset.
I kind of wanted some Clapton, I Shot the Sheriff.
He's not a lawman, though.
Or
I Fought the Law and the Law Won.
Never mind.
Sorry, I can barely hear.
That's okay.
Hey there, Nomad of Nowhere fans. Welcome back to the Rooster Teeth Reviews Nomad of Nowhere After Show fan. Guys, I forgot to mention at the top of the show that we are going to be having a special guest calling in very, very soon. But in the meantime, let me go ahead and introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Mark Donica.
It's me, I'm Mark Donica.
To his left, Stacey Shuttleworth.
Hello.
To her left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
And I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are going to be breaking down episode 9 from this season, Compass. Before we get started, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag RTReviews. Katie Cullen's got you covered on the live chat, as does Stacey and Mark.
Yeah, we got you.
You guys are fantastic.
Real quick, I think we need to lay this down specifically for this episode. We're not talking about episode 10 at all. That stays behind the spoiler wall. We are not talking about 10. Don't put it in the chat. Don't put it in the comments. Be kind to people who do not have a first sponsorship or a Verve account.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, we as a show are adhering to Rooster Teeth's community guidelines by only talking about this episode. So yeah, guys, be cool. No spoilers. Mm-hmm. I feel like that goes without saying, but if we don't say it, someone's inevitably going to talk about
it. And if you stay in the chat, please remind everybody and anybody who joins in at the last minute. But speaking of people joining in,
yes.
We have on the line from Geeks of Color, and you might have seen her on the Kind of Funny Games Daily last Friday. Belinda Garcia is joining us on the phone.
Yay!
Hi. Hi, Belinda.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yes. How are you doing
Great.
Today?
Awesome. Good. I miss all of you.
Aw.
Yeah, we had a fun time at RTX.
We did.
Way too short of a time.
Way too short.
Yes. Speak for yourself. I was there for 8 days.
It was great.
I meant together with Belinda.
I saw Katie towards the end, and she's like, everybody left me, and I'm alone.
This is also true. I was there till the bitter end, and then 48 more hours.
So, Belinda, why don't you go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about what you do?
I'm a news reporter and event person now for Geeks of Color is mainly what I do. And through that, you guys mentioned that I was on Kind of Funny Games Daily, which is super cool. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Rooster Teeth fan, big animation fan, and I met all of you guys at RTX this year, and you guys are the kindest, most amazingest humans ever. Yeah, so great. So that's what I do, and I'm here to talk all Nomad with you guys.
What's your history with Rooster Teeth Animation?
I watched Red vs. Blue like long time ago before like I even put two and two together with Rooster Teeth. Yeah. And then later on, I caught Ruby, and I know exactly like I was scrolling through my timeline, and I just saw. It was just the image of, like, the four girls, and I was like, this just looks like something I'd be down for. And I totally watched all of Ruby. I'm like, love Ruby. I'm catching up on Camp Camp currently, which I love and is, like, hilarious. I love Nomad. Eddie's someone that's super close to my heart, so love supporting him. And yeah, basically, that's basically me.
All right, you ready to cry for the next, like, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
That's all I've got slated.
Sorry?
Are you ready to cry for the next 40 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to bawl my eyes out. The intro song is just, I'm mad that I didn't think of it. Or on it.
Chat called it, and Chat has gotten pretty good at calling intro songs for a lot of our animation shows, so well done, y'all.
Might have been a little predictable for some of our regulars, but I felt like it was the most appropriate and upsetting.
It was perfect.
But I'm glad we're all ready to cry, because that's all I have on my notes, is just crying for the next 35 crying. Minutes now.
Well, looks about right. Yeah,
crying. Well, let's go ahead and give our initial thoughts. Belinda, what did you think of this episode?
What do I think of this episode? I feel like,
yeah, that's about right.
Just the ending. Yeah. The ending totally just catches me, because it's totally something that he would do, right? It's in his character to be the selfless, protective person, because, like, he was like that for Scout in the beginning. So I kind of, like, knew it was coming, but then it happened, and I'm like, and then there's no music at the end. I'm like, and then it just gets worse, and then you just, all these questions come up in your head. And also, I'm trying to think of, like, now I have this idea where, like, Scout is, like, the champion of the Coliseum, and I like that version. Because when she's like, does that, like, I killed the champion, like, does that make me the champion? I was like,
yes.
Let's give her a belt.
All right, fans, you know what to do. You know what to do. Let's get some Photoshop up in here.
I love Elizabeth Maxwell for Breath of the Wild was the Gerudo champion. So I'm kind of picturing, like, I would kill for fan art right now.
I can't imagine Scout in Urbosa's clothing.
And yet here I am doing it anyway.
Yeah.
What I wouldn't give for that fan art.
She's like twice the size of Scout, literally.
Easily.
She's like, well, the size of the teenage queen that you meet in present day. Whatever.
Anyway.
I'm about it.
But yeah, so I definitely agree with you, Belinda. I'm kind of emotionally distraught. Mark, what were your thoughts?
My thoughts were, Fat Stacks, pay me now, because I predicted this! One way or another, I predicted that the Nomad was going to protect Scout from being shot by either Red Manuel or Don Paragon.
You're like a dark oracle.
Dude,
he's so proud.
They set it up.
Who did you sell your soul to?
They set it up really well, and I'm familiar with there's a term for it that I'm not going to say because this is a family show, but the Weasley Red Manuel type of character is one where they have, if they don't prove themselves, then what's their, if they don't do some action to show why they're there, because we didn't see what brought him to that position. He was just kind of whatever, you a doll of scum, blah, 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 like all that stuff, but he was there for a reason. And this, ultimately, for the section of the show that we're seeing, is the reason why he's here, and now he's going to be put on a pedestal, and he's now a mini-boss, you know? He is, technically, in all intents and purposes, Paragon's champion, more so than Toth. Like, more so than just the very end. We got a lot more from Scout in this episode, and I adored it. We're seeing the public perception start to sway and start to change, and we've only got a couple of episodes left. What the hell is going to happen?
Cliffhanger Central, that's what.
Oh, for sure. Stacey?
This episode introduced the most relatable character I have ever met, and I blocked out the rest of it.
Rope friend or I done seed it?
Not that one, but one of that trio.
Okay.
I didn't see it, but I wish I had so I could say something in the story.
I was getting away from me.
Hashtag it me. That's adorable.
Hashtag relatable. Hashtag I don't seed it.
Best extra. Katie.
I'm still mourning the loss of Rope Friend, so I'm going to need a minute.
Yeah. Need to process that.
This is yet another one of those moments where a character that I loved got shot and I cackled like a maniac in response. I don't have good responses to this sort of thing, but I think that makes it like three times
Rooster
now
Teeth keeps through doing Rooster that. Teeth. Yeah.
They do. They keep doing that.
Well, I think really quick before we start really digging into the episode, we have a quick announcement for you guys.
Yes, we do. After Buzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. So that's this one, that's sci-fi, that's wrestling and sports. I don't know why you would subscribe to that one other than to see people talk about professional wrestling like myself. But by subscribing to these channels, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. Now, I mean, you will know the exact moment whenever we go live and you can be texted for it, but they are optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. But for now, thanks for being the best fans and making us be the ESPN of TV talk. Megan?
Yes, so thank you guys so much to everybody who's commented on YouTube, all that stuff. You guys are fantastic, and we especially love looking at the stuff in the live chat. I want to give a quick shout-out to Jester's Chessboard, who sent us fan art, My Little Pony fan art, Nomad fan art last week. So thank you so much, Jester. We really appreciate it. Your art is beautiful. Continue to do the thing. Okay, guys, I want to talk about Toth real quick, because she's sort of on a warpath in this episode, and I always enjoy getting to see her and sort of seeing what her story always sort of has in store. Belinda, what are your thoughts on just Toth as a character?
I think she's in a really emotional state right now where she, you know, she kind of lost Scout, who's someone that's really close to her. And she thinks that getting the Nomad will solve all her problems, which it probably won't. But like the fact that it's taken her so long and like everybody's just like, where is he? You're supposed to be this great warrior. You're supposed to have him. Is like really getting to her. And we just see her, like the tension with her, like rising. And even though technically she is part of like the antagonist and she has been on this hunt for the whole time, right now it feels like she's like bloodthirsty, like she has like she has like horse blinders, like she has like one path, like she's going for it. Because even like the guys that are like hanging around her are like, whoa, like we don't do this, even though we do, but we don't. And like, you're going too far. And also I feel like the train station guy was just having a good time.
He's a serial killer.
In the face, but
I
was just like, whoa, okay.
I kind of have to side with Toth on that one, though, because he's just the creepiest guy. I really don't blame her.
He's a serial killer, but I don't think he deserved that. Namely because him being a serial killer is something we've basically accused him of.
I was going
to
say.
So he might not be.
Do you hear the words coming out of your mouth?
He might not actually be a serial killer. That's just what we're calling him because those are some vibes.
With the type of dialogue he has, he's more of a serial C-E-R-E-A-L killer. Just like,
this
yeah,
is
I'm a serial
true.
Killer.
No.
Yeah, and he gets real into it too.
Yeah.
Like,
I did love watching this reaction from the Dandelions because it's that very awkward position, especially in military, where you know your CO has gone off the rails. You know that things are wrong, but you have no position, no authority in which to tell them to stop. And the best you can do is go, hey, maybe we should calm down. Hey, this isn't usually how we do things. And just try to remind them of their sanity because you aren't in a position to be able to drag them back to it.
Yeah, Stacey.
Yeah, Toth has been a really hard character for me, like to really understand her. Like, I know where she's coming from, but like seeing her as a potential, like she's doing this for a good reason, has been very difficult. And in this episode, especially, like she's really, really taken a nosedive and just has fully committed to really not controlling herself anymore.
She's starting to spiral a bit.
And a bit?
Just a little.
She's in a nosedive, man.
Like a full-on tailspin?
Yeah. friends through thick and thin. It's another tailspin.
Yep.
Just nothing that she was doing this episode was good. Like, you forgot that she's a character that we're supposed to be caring about because she's gone too far off the deep end. It wasn't quite like Michael Scott level, but it was almost there. It was pretty rough. But I was a big fan of the Dandelions being like, hey, chill.
This is a little south of our moral compass.
We don't murder.
Like, hold on, we do some bad stuff.
That's Dawn Paragon's job.
Yeah.
For me, I love that she initially was rooted in authority. And she's like, don't worry, we will bring him to justice. We will make sure this criminal is apprehended. And as the crowd got less and less cooperative, that's when her temper started to flare and she started to become more extreme. So, Belinda, do you think this is the beginning of sort of the change in perspective from the sort of general populace, with authority getting more and more antagonistic and the Nomad doing what he can to help people out? Do you think this is going to be a shift in the public overall?
Oh, totally. It's and it's something that I love in, like, movies or TV always, where you know both sides, but, you know, the characters don't know both sides, and you're waiting for the moment that you're just like, just see, like, how this character is, and just, like, witness. And I'm super glad that something, like, with Scout and her, like, revelation was like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we tearing up this, like, whole place trying to get this guy who's just been, like, done nothing wrong? And then, like, us as an audience is like, yes, thank you.
Finally,
vindicated.
And so I love that scene with Toph, because, like, there's like the general populace, like you're saying, and they were like, saw the Nomad in action, and he did a good thing for them, and they kind of were like taken aback from this authority being like, maybe he is the good guy and you're the bad guy.
I forgot the name of the comedy show, but there's one where it's something from the Nazis' point of view, and one of them just turns to the other and goes, are we the baddies? I totally forget.
It was a British show,
but I totally forget where it was.
I saw it on YouTube, because, I don't remember the name of the show.
There's another bit that they do that I also can't say, because it's fan, but it's so, it's so relatable.
We've got skulls and, like, pointy things on our helmets. Like, I feel like we're the bad guys.
Yeah. Is it modern, or is it, like, Monty Python's Flying Circus?
Pretty modern.
Okay.
No, it's very modern. Yeah, okay. Like, mid-2000s.
Okay.
But with this, speaking, Belinda, you mentioned not seeing all angles, but as the audience we get to, we still know next to nothing about the Yadala. And I'm really hoping that we get, similar in El Rey, some sort of a flashback episode where we learn about the Yadala.
That would be fantastic.
And we also got this blithe and blatant racism from Red Manuel. And I'm wondering how many other people feel that way, and how many other people express it, have expressed that to Toph, etc. Like, how does that factor into this? And again, that goes hand in hand with, we know virtually nothing about them. But I wouldn't be surprised if that was also a factor in Toph just kind of starting to spiral.
Yeah.
Not Red Manuel specifically, because we've got a sound cue for this. But...
And it's... And
shut up, Red Manuel.
Yes, thank you. Not him specifically, but just in general.
I feel like that's an excellent point. She definitely has something to prove, and in a lot of ways, I definitely think she's overcompensating in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Becca Lyne brings up a very good point in the chat from episode one. Don't you think that's going a bit too far, Santi? These moral quandaries are beyond our pay grade. I concur. Casually sets the briar patch on fire.
And now we have... We really shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Hold on a second, guys.
It's people versus living creatures.
You got to draw the distinction somewhere, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only other thing I want to touch on before we move on is, Stacey, you mentioned that one of these side characters in the crowd is one of the most relatable people ever.
It really is, though. So we have this group of three people. They're excitedly like explaining what happened. And it's like, I saw it, or I seen it. And like adding on to the story, and this third character was like, I didn't see anything, but I want to be part of this conversation, so here I am, wishing I had. I was like, man, if I had a nickel.
Goals.
That man is my Patronus.
He is low. Like the general populace, though, kind of coming together like that and wanting to be involved and being like, yeah, this nomad guy. It was a really interesting flip from the way we were presented with how the population was supposed to be seeing what the nomad was doing. You know, oh, he stole your water wheel. He took down this circus. Like, no, he's actually doing good things. And now the people are starting to see that.
Yeah. It's great watching these two episodes back to back. Because, yeah, it goes from people talking about him and spitting on the ground very
Can
irreverently.
Can you not do that?
to this group of travelers, you know, willing to go to bat for him, essentially. Which was great. Before we move on to the next topic, we want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. It is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. It helps keep the lights on here. It helps us get wonderful guests. And it makes us more searchable. So, guys, we will also give you a shout-out on the show. We don't have any new ones this week, but we absolutely adore everybody who's taken the time to go in and leave a comment. And, again, we like giving shout-outs to also people who are in the hashtag, who leave comments on YouTube. It all counts, and you're all wonderful. Thank you guys so much.
And if you're leaving a comment in an iTunes store that's not the American iTunes store, screen cap it, throw it in the hashtag RT Reviews. We do see those. We do love those. We just have a hard time finding them because there's like 35 iTunes stores.
Belinda, is there anything on iTunes that you would like to promote? Like any podcasts that you do?
Let me think. Geeks of Color has a gaming podcast called Game Boys of Color. Yeah, title. Guess who came up with the title? Me. Okay, I love the title. It's like my favorite thing. So we're actually recording tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about Spider-Man, and I think the Nintendo Direct happens tomorrow, too. We'll get to talk about that if anyone listening is interested in gaming and stuff. I also have an independent comic podcast coming out at the end of the month with this guy, Eric, who's super great. And then one more, I do a podcast for the Whatnots with Kyle, who is a huge Rooster Teeth fan. He's huge Rooster Teeth fan. He's great. And we do a bunch of reviews and stuff like that. So you can check any of those out on iTunes and Spotify and all of the things.
That was such a clean transition to promotion. I loved it. Thank you, Belinda.
Yes.
Thank you.
Can't wait to check all that out. Oh, that's so exciting. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Nomad and Scout in this episode. They're on the run from the Coliseum champion. Belinda, what did you think about this sort of extended chase sequence that we get?
So what I love about like the beginning when we just have Scout and the Nomad is she's tired and she needs water and all this stuff, but weirdly, we're noticing that the Nomad doesn't need these things. That was like one of the big like exclamation points that I found because he was like trying to take care of her. And I'm like, well, why don't you need water and substance foods to survive? And he's just really concerned with her. So I wanted to say like two of my favorite Scout hair moments are in this episode, and one is really quick. I don't know why I noticed it, but it's right after the champion. They use the rope. They got up there. R.I.P. rope. And she was like yelling down. She's like, "Try to get us now!" And he like jumps up and starts climbing. She has like two handfuls of her hair, and she like pulls on them like really fast. And it's the cutest thing. I don't know. I just noticed. I was like, "Did she just like grab her hair and like pull it?" Because she's like, "Oh no, he's coming!" And it's a split second thing, but I love it. And then shortly after, she's like dehydrated and like exhausted, and they find the town, and her hair is just in her face. Her hair is just covering her face, and I just love it so much. I don't know why, but I'm here for the hair moment. Like, hair should be its own character.
Very relatable hair moments.
Oh yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if at some point he claps and her hair gets googly eyes and just develops a mind of its own.
Braids itself.
That would be wonderful. Good thing, right? Like hair that'll do itself.
But hair is also living.
So. Have you read That's any Discworld? Hair that will do itself is not an advantage.
As Susan Starlet would argue.
But yeah, we get this extended chase sequence where he is just absolutely relentless in his pursuit of them. And it takes us not only to ghost towns, but it also takes them underground. Mark, what did we think of sort of the character moments that we get between the Nomad and Scout?
The Royal We?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the Royal We.
I'm a big fan of people figuring stuff out on their own. And when it comes to the Nomad, as much as they can communicate, and it's that people tend to understand them very, very clearly. Ultimately, it's just a lot of people doing like Grecian Shakespearean aside monologues and realizing deep things about themselves. It's this show's version of the life-changing field trip with Zuko, where they just kind of hang out with the Nomad and talk about their problems and figure everything out and go, oh, that's what's wrong with me. And with Scout, we got a moment with her to just get some of her frustrations out a little bit more than we saw in the last episode. And being able to compare and contrast it directly to Toth's in this episode was like, oh, okay, no, I know which ship I'm pulling for, which ship is in the lead of this race.
Which ship you're sailing.
Sure. but it was fun in a deep philosophical way, just to just let her talk.
I agree. Stacey?
I like seeing Scout through this process, because she kind of goes through this moment of like, no, I'm still capturing you. Why are you doing these nice things for me? And almost like she doesn't really understand this mentality, and you know, why would she in the environment she's grown up in? So to be exposed to this and then to like have that start the gears turning in her head. So she gets to make this progress that she hasn't really been able to consider before and think, oh, well, it's not always like that. It doesn't have to be like that. Mm-hmm. And it gives her kind of the opportunity to find her own strength a little bit, which we see when they're down in the mine. Especially even though she falls back into like berating herself over something that's not really her own fault. Where she's like, I had to go fall down the deepest hole I could.
Yeah, how could you have known?
But that wasn't your fault. But again, that's what she's used to. It's her fault. She's the one that's the dunderhead. You know,
Yeah, thinking about, thinking about Scout, like, she hasn't been around a lot of people that have been nice to her. So, like, the fact that she's, like, questioning, like, the person that she's not supposed to be nice to is being nice to her when, like, people that were around her aren't quite nice to her, like Spittoon Girl, like, yeah, that's a great nickname, and like things like that. So it's kind of endearing to like see her react to someone that's like just genuinely caring for her and like worried about her well-being.
And that's also why she latched on so hard to Toth, because she straight up says like Toth was the one who kept giving me chances after everyone else had given up. So
Toth, we saw it early in the season, was the only one who would stand up for her on occasion, so it's no wonder she fell in love so quickly.
See, I want to know what the heck happened at home. For one, where's mom? She never mentions mom. It's always with her dad. And two, what got hecked up so badly that she had to leave the Iron Border?
Language, please.
Excuse you. Watch those dangs, Davey. That's a good point.
But I agree with Katie. What's at the Iron Border? Why is she so... And aside from home, why does she have to go? Why does she feel the need to go back?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she said she was going home if anyone would have her. I wonder if she doesn't really have any place to go. If it was she wound up at the Oasis because home went, you screwed up too many things, bye. Or if dad was no longer around to protect her.
That's an excellent question. It makes me wonder, I want to see a map. I know we got a map a little early on, but I want a screen cap of it so we can go, okay, where is the Iron Border in relation to the Oasis? Because that's a long way for a kid to travel on their own.
But it's also a train, which is pretty fast mode of travel, provided that Doomfist doesn't derail it in the middle of transit.
That's a fair point, guys. Let's talk about the champion for a little bit. Belinda, I don't know about you, but when I saw this man rip the train off the tracks and then tear a piece of rope in half with his bare hands, I have a lot of questions about this gentleman. What did you think of the champion in this episode?
Yeah, well, we don't know much about him, but he comes and he's just relentless, right? He is like Toth 2.0 with like no hair and like scars. And he's like, I'm the champion. And technically, we don't really know what that means. Like, we don't know. He could be making up the Coliseum for all we know. You know what I mean? He's definitely, his introduction was frightening. You get a sense of his strength, how serious he is about getting the Nomad. And we've only seen him in like a few episodes. And it's one of those things where someone has been waiting so long for one thing to happen that they send the one that's going to do it the fastest, you know? And kind of like, I'm going to make a Disney reference.
Please do.
Kind of like in Lilo and Stitch, right? Gantu took so long and he's like, oh, I'm trying to get Stitch and I'm supposed to bring him back. And then they just basically crash land and they get him and they're like, got him. And that's kind of how I feel, is that the champion was just like, I'm here, I'm getting you. And he's gotten so close to the Nomad, got just almost close enough to get him. But yeah, just his introduction, like, you already know he's, without knowing like exactly what the Coliseum means, like, we don't know what that means, what the champion means, but we know he's serious, he's violent, and he has like one goal and he's gonna achieve it.
Well, two things about this guy. One, I sat back and listened and made sure. You hear the cart, you hear the scream, you never hear an impact. So I'm leaning into full-on no body, no death for this guy.
Agreed.
And two, I'm wondering, because he kept pushing the Nomad, you're going to have to fight, you're going to have to fight. When is that going to come back around? Because I will be absolutely gobsmacked if that doesn't come back around in some capacity.
Never. The Nomad's dead, Katie. Thanks for that.
Well, okay, no, fine. Like that. Yeah.
We appreciate you joining us for the season finale. Series finale.
That's the end of the show.
We hope you enjoyed it.
It's like saying the seventh book of Game of Thrones is just going to be 500 pages of describing the wind whipping through the desolate wastelands because everyone's dead.
But would you be all that surprised?
No.
They're dead.
Actually, yes, because there wouldn't be any descriptions of feasts.
Oh, we do need those.
I've read a lot of those books, y'all.
It's fair.
But yes, Mark, was there anything in particular that stood out to you about the champion?
I'm interested in the no body, no death. I wonder if the champion's going to be the one to go back and report to Toro.
Ooh.
And the end of the season is Toro kicking down the door and being like, you did what? Like, so, sort of a thing. I told you not to get in my way. Yeah, well, I got the blah, blah, blah. Either way. But I don't think we got enough time with him. I just found it interesting that the thing that scared you, he tore train tracks apart and broke a rope. Like, those were the two things that you loved together.
Well, it's hard enough to pull a thread apart,
yes,
like
but
that.
The killer tenacity of just freehanding climbing up the side of a flat cliff.
That was horrifying.
The rope was a living thing, though, Mark.
The desert
is brutal.
Okay, it'd be one thing if he like unraveled it and it was like all just gone. But he just clean rip in two halves. Wouldn't the other half of it just get up and walk away? We don't necessarily know the rules of the
Friends. That's true. It did get broken earlier in the episode.
Exactly.
And it was still okay.
However, it was only a piece of it broken off, as opposed to, oh, here's your middle.
But, I mean, who's to say what the middle of a rope is?
We don't know enough about these rules.
Seriously. Like,
one dumb question.
Did it suddenly gain sentience and a brain and all sorts of things and the snapping
and a soul.
Of it? Yeah, and the snapping of that then destroyed the brain? Like, we're getting way too technical for this fantasy show, but
I'm thinking the rope has organs and where they are.
Do they develop, like, organs when they come to life?
I'm going to go with no, because we've definitely seen the inside of Music Box Friend.
Yeah, but that's different. That was removing all of the pieces of like, crushing the music box versus just taking a line and cutting it in half. Either way.
One Dumb Gamer says, if Nomad,
the sadness?
Yes.
If Nomad has died, then who was phone? Who was phone is one of my favorite ridiculous nobody knows what's going on anymore memes,
no.
And I love it.
Combat meme with meme. The rope isn't dead, it's just at the soup store.
Oh, why is it buying clothes at the soup store, though?
I don't know.
Stacey.
I want to do the appropriate reply to that, but I can't because it's not air appropriate, curse you.
Vacuum.
Stacey, one of the things that stood out to me about the champion was the fact that he has this handy little magical compass.
Yeah, he does. Mm. There are tools that point as they do magic in this case. And that's kind of terrifying. And, well, Nomad's in for a...
It reminded me a lot of, like, the original Pirates of the Caribbean, where, you know, you got Jack's magic compass that points to the Ile de Muerte.
A compass that doesn't point north.
It got Katie, too, so let's just bring to attention Eddie Rivas being amazing in the chat. This is an anatomy lesson.
An anatomy lesson?
No. Stop him.
No! Please. Eddie, yes! Eddie, yes! I hope you're proud of yourself.
Of course he's proud of himself. He wrote the damn series.
Yes. But, I mean, yeah, the fact of the matter is that Scout is able to dispatch the champion after what's a very uncomfortable sequence, because we've never seen anybody physically assault the Nomad to the degree that the champion mm-hmm. does. Mm-hmm. It's hard to watch our sweet baby just literally get, like, being treated like a punching bag. It's so upsetting.
I do love the squeaky toy sound effects, though.
Like, he gets punched in the gut and it's just...
That's, I know that it's just cartoon foley, but I wonder if people can hear that.
we had this question last week, whether or not those are diegetic or non-diegetic.
To be perfectly honest, this scene is where that question came from.
It's a fair question.
Belinda, do you think the squeaky noises are something that the characters can hear?
Oh, I never thought about that.
It just quietly blows your mind, doesn't it?
What if they react, right? They would react. They'd be like, I don't know. Oh,
squeak. It's a side effect of magic.
Why don't we ask Eddie?
Eddie!
So funny in the chat.
No, they don't hear the damn squeaky noises.
Eddie's not going to tell us one way or another.
He likes watching us.
There is one sound effect.
Season 3.
There is one sound effect I'm wondering if everybody hears. And let's go ahead and talk about this moment at the end where Red, after Scout declares herself the champion, the new champion of the Coliseum.
She goes mad with power.
That's the rest of this season. Yeah.
She kills Red Manuel on the spot. No.
I'd be down.
But yeah, Red Manuel comes up. He decided to ditch the Dandelions and Toth when they came across the champion. Decided that the champion had a better chance of finding the Nomad, and here he is, ready to steal the Nomad from Scout's grasp. Belinda, what was your reaction when you saw Red Manuel walk up? Because last week, we had a little bit of a discussion about whether or not Red Manuel was capable of being self-aware in any sort of capacity. Mm. And this episode... for me, kind of drives home that probably not.
No.
I think it's funny that Red Manuel is like, I followed the champion. And in my head, I'm like, well, he had a compass. So, yeah, he knew where he was going.
Of course he had the upper hand.
Yeah, I don't know. Red Manuel's always been, especially like with the Dandelions and Toth, you kind of, like, you know that Toph has authority, but then you also know that, like, Red Manuel has authority, but you don't know, like, the specifics of, like, who has what. And he kind of, like, took matters into his own hands because nothing was getting done. But he also took, he didn't really go off on his own. He kind of just followed another person, which I think is interesting. But yeah, I didn't think that it was going to be Red Manuel that was there, actually. I don't know why. I just thought that it would be Toph, since, like, we had just cut from the scene at the train station. So that one kind of took me by surprise a little bit. Yeah. Scary.
Katie, what were your thoughts?
This idiot. This idiot. He's so much fun to watch, even when he's an awful, awful human being, and we just can't stand him. He just, every time he comes on screen, you just want to break out the popcorn, because something's going to happen, good or bad, because it's Red freaking Manuel.
He brings the drama.
He brings a whole lot of things.
That's true.
The drama. None of them good.
And in this case, the sadness and woe, all that other stuff. And
the other angel in chat says, what a freeloader. Also, it's their first time watching live. Hi!
Hello! Hello, the other angel.
Stacey?
So, as ridiculous as Red Manuel is and continues to be, I think this is one of the first times we see him being really shrewd.
Like, whether, very clever.
Yeah, whether it's picking the right person to follow and then swooping in when the opportunity is right. I mean, he really showed his cards as an opportunist in this episode, and we really saw how deep that goes. And he was fairly effective at it.
Yeah.
I grabbed my wife's hand and said, it's happening. I can't believe it.
Because you're terrible. It's actually happening.
But definitely agreed with Stacey. It showed that he's shrewd, but this sort of brought to light that the only reason, like, well, not necessarily the only reason, but the main reason that we don't like Red Manuel is because the main characters in the show don't like Red Manuel. We haven't necessarily been given a reason other than, oh, he's kind of a jerk. We haven't really been given a reason as to why to not like him, and now he's, like, mini-boss for season two.
Now he's like, oh, I'm gonna kill this girl.
I'm gonna kill both of you. I don't care. Like, this is why he's here. And it makes me like to not like him more.
And Beast Wars fan in chat says, Red Manuel truly is Starscream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a great comparison. So, yeah, Red Manuel, Scouts tries to stand up for the Nomad. Red Manuel fires at her, and the Nomad pushes her out of the way, and we hear what sounds like shattered glass. And so, yeah, at this moment, I was completely shocked. I didn't know what to do. When we are running a little short on time, Belinda, what were your thoughts when we just cut to this cliffhanger?
I know. I think the worst part of the cliffhanger is that, like, it just cuts into the credits and there's no music. So you're kind of just like, okay, it kind of just rings in your ears. Sound, I feel like, I'm going to go with people can hear that sound. I'm going to go on the side of, yeah, I think people can hear that sound. But it's interesting because, you know, you wonder, like, where his heart is. I'm just bringing up organs all over the place, I guess. And and to hear that, and you're just like, well, what does that mean? Does it mean that it didn't affect him? Does it mean that it did affect him? There's no visible blood as far as I can see. So yeah, I hate the cliffhanger a lot.
But it's so well done.
It cuts. Like, it doesn't even, it's just like, oh no, and then Scout's like, oh dear, it's just like, psh, done. And then you're like, okay, well, thank you for that, and I have to go on with my day.
It's uncomfortably abrupt, for sure.
So fast.
It hurts so much. And sadly, we are running short on time. I don't think we're going to have time to get into some predictions this time around. But just real quick around the table, our quick thoughts on this cliffhanger and how it might change the dynamic of the show. Let's start with Mark.
Where do we go? Like, the fact that we've cut so quickly from this moment makes me wonder where they could go. And I will say when the season was being, or when the second half of the season was being teased, we got this weird like tentacle monster sort. So maybe that's like a dreamscape. Maybe that's sort of a place where the nomads' inner thoughts end up. I don't know where they could go with this.
Stacey?
Yeah, I don't know, because the way it did cut off so quickly is, can we cut exactly back to that moment and pick up right from there again, or are we going to see some kind of, like, skip where the focus shifts, which I also think would be a really interesting take on this world.
Mm-hmm. Katie?
I honestly don't know. For me, I'm less worried about the nomad, because the show is named after him, you guys, come on. And a little more worried about all of our surrounding characters. How does this mess with their dynamic? What does this do to Toth? What does this do to Red Manuel? How does Scout get out of this situation?
Yeah.
Like, what do we even have going on here? And we don't know.
Belinda?
I think, like, we have an opportunity to learn about the Nomad now, hopefully in the future. And also, I'm also worried about Scout, because Redmond wanted to shoot her, and then he didn't. And then if Nomad isn't there to protect her again, then, like, what's going to happen there? Is he going to shoot her? Is he going to take her prisoner? Is he going to take Nomad and her as prisoner? Or, you know, so I would be really interested to learn more about the Nomad, and because the shot and the heart, as far as we know, is super interesting, because, you know, if the ding, like, it's totally like, oh, now I want to know what that leads into, and I hope that we get to learn more about that.
We once again have the question of, is that sound effect diegetic? We just don't know.
I heard it and I immediately went, he's a robot!
And I went, it's a metaphor!
he's an automaton! Well, Belinda, thank you so much for taking the time to call in and chat with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We've missed talking to you.
Yes.
I know, we miss you.
Hope to see you soon.
Next time you're in LA, open invite to the studio if you're free.
Yes.
Oh my god, I'm just gonna show up and be like, hey guys, you told me open invite.
This is where I live now.
I'm just gonna take a couch and hang out on it until we show up.
Yeah, I've been here for 48 hours.
Well, Belinda, where can people go if they want to keep up with you and all of these fantastic projects that you're working on?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm on Twitter, I'm at BBC Garcia. You'll find everything that I mentioned and stuff, and me fangirling over a bunch of things on there. And yeah.
Well, thank you. Thanks, again. Belinda. We love you.
Thank you so much. We love you.
Bye.
Bye, Belinda.
Bye.
On that note, guys, my heart is broken. So let's go ahead and wrap it on up for the evening. Katie, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
I'm going to be the voice of chat real fast and request that sound effect once again, if we could be so kind.
Shut up, Red Manuel.
Thank you.
Very happy
Thank
with
you,
that.
Steve.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like reaction videos to these episodes, they live on that YouTube channel, as well as my brand new Overwatch podcast, On the Point.
Stacey?
Yes, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles or over on Twitch at InventoryFullPT, where I stream different games throughout the week and get to talk about video games all the time with Mark over here.
And with me, Mark Bidonic. You find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonic. Stacey, what was the game that you streamed the other night?
Man, I played a game called Donut County.
Donut County, that's what
it is. Where you basically suck things into a little hole in the ground and it gets bigger and you suck everything in the world into it.
It's wonderful. That one Simpsons episode crossed with Katamari Damacy.
It was wonderful.
So you can check that stream out, as well as my streaming Spider-Man on Inventory Full PT on Twitch. God, that game is so good. And speaking of new podcasts, if you're a fan of theme parks, my wife and I just started a podcast called Party of Two. We're looking for a party of two. We talk about all sorts of theme park, amusement park sorts of stuff. Our most recent episode was all about predicting what we think is in the new Avengers Land at California Adventure. We just sort of tossed around an idea for a Beetlejuice ride and what we would do to improve some rides that are already existing. So make sure we're on iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud, Party of Two Pod. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, everybody.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I do a Lost retrospective podcast called No Love Lost. You can follow it at No Love Lost Pod. And also, be sure to follow the whole team here at it's The Rooster Team
at the
now.
Rooster Team.
At The Rooster Team. And be sure to check out our TeePublic.
It's
on sale.
And our coffee. We have a coffee that helps support some of the hosting for Welcome to Vail. So we really appreciate it.
Which is on iTunes now. Go check it out. It's so much fun.
The TeePublic store is on sale this weekend.
The
Do
whole
it.
Store.
Do the thing. Whole store. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you again to Belinda for joining us this evening. We will see you all next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.